Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. You know, you see all of the signs and all the news reports and all of the current situation between protests, the virus, and wars and rumors of wars and economic problems. All of these things are happening simultaneously in what I call a convergence. The Bible was very clear saying all these things will be happening just prior to the time of the Lord's return. And all I can say to that is amen. But we're going to be talking today. This is not the tribulation. This is not the seven. We have not entered the 7 years of tribulation yet. You do not want to be around when that's going to take place. But this is the type and shadow. This is the birth pains, the labor pains that precedes the tribulation. And even Jesus said, Matthew 24, said, you know, this is not the end yet. He said, this is just the beginning of sorrows. This is just the birth pains of what's to come. My guest today is our good friend, Tom Donnan. And every time Tom and I get together, you just never know which way this conversation is going to go. The Holy Spirit takes charge, and you know, we may be talking about ABC, and before you know it, we're talking, you know, Z, and then jumping to M, and back to P, and all the way back to C. I mean, we have no idea where it's going. We got an outline, but we just let the Holy Spirit have free reign. So help me welcome back to the program, Tom Donnan. Tom, thank you for joining us again today and talk about these current events.
Pastor, thank you very much for having me, and we always have a good time. And there's so much to talk about. You know, it's not a hard time to be able to come up with material for this, you know, because it's on the hearts and lives of everybody these days, yeah, you know. And so I'm grateful for this opportunity, and thank you very much.
Amen. Tell you what, before we get started, why don't you take us before the throne of grace and mercy and just ask God for his blessing upon this conversation today.
Oh, what an honor. Thank you. Dear Father God, I lift up to you this broadcast, and I ask, Father, that you cover both of us with the blood of Christ from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, and that we would be your ministry to the people, and that you would guide our words and our thoughts to be able to communicate your plans and your insights, Father. But we want the spiritual life of your Holy Spirit to flow through us and to go into the readers' hearts. We ask that your angels would accompany that. And that, Lord, that life would then bear fruit and that living water would well up within them and then spread from there. We want it to be able to go far and wide, Lord. And you are the type of God that can do that. Multiplication. Please bring multiplication. Amen. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I know you want to talk about the four horsemen of the apocalypse from Revelation 6, but, you know, let's just dwell for a minute because we introduced the topic of, you know, type and shadow and the birth pangs is not the actual tribulation. Tell us about, you know, biblical symbology and things like that.
Well, when you have Joseph. Joseph is a type and a shadow of Jesus. You know, when he was being used to save Egypt during that time of famine, the preparations, and then the time of famine, he was used to be able to show what happens when we have Jesus come on the scene. Because the thing is that with Jesus, he is the sacrifice once and for all after the beginning of the New Testament. And so this is the thing that we're having today. We want to be able to understand this so that we can come into that relationship to be able to see the unique times that we are in, to correlate with our spiritual experience, because there are so many different things out there. We need to be able to hone in on what the spiritual experience is so that we can become born again. Now, I speak with people all the time through the ministry, and they say that they have a relationship. When somebody comes in and they say that they have known Jesus all their life, I say, wait a minute, uh-oh, what's going on here? And I will say, hey, it just doesn't work that way, because in John 3:6, it talks about how we have a relation. Oh, no, excuse me. Let me back up. it talks about that we are born into this world by our parents, but then we need to be having a spiritual birth, and we need to seek that out. So when somebody says that they've known Jesus all their life and say, okay, wait a minute, it's an event, it's something, it's a gift that we need to receive. And so that Joseph was a type and a shadow of Jesus coming, and then Jesus coming for our day. We're at the end of times, and we need to be able to sort through the, I always like to use an analogy of a pond, right? You ever been at a pond where there's this duckweed that's just all over the place, you know?
Yep.
And you can't see what's beneath the duckweed into the pond. And so you got to kind of like either blow on the water or move it with your hands to be able to look in there. And I'm telling you, it's so confusing with all this input and all this information. It gets so confused that you can't even tell what's true anymore. And you got to get the duckweed out of the way so that you can see the reflection. You can see beneath the water. And that's what we're trying to do by getting all this information together so that we can see that Jesus is our Savior and that he is coming again. And it is a reality. And we have seen it in the past and we are living it now.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, with biblical types and shadows, like, you know, when Moses built the tabernacle and the altar and all that, that's not the actual heavenly tabernacle or altar. That was a type and shadow of the one that's in heaven. And, you know, when we as the body of Christ here on this earth, we are the body of Christ on the earth, but we are not Christ because he's in heaven. But when he comes back, we'll be married. And just, you know, the symbology of marriage is two become one, and then you'll be one together. So, you know, the type, I think you wrote out is, you know, what the picture is about, but it's picturing what's coming. Is that right?
That's right. Yes. And so I'll tell you what, this is kind of like breaking new ground, because when I was going through classes to become a minister, it talked about the type in the shadow, and it's breaking new ground. So, you know, when you break new ground, what happens is that you got to gather all this information and bring it into your head and you let it swirl around. No. And hopefully it doesn't give you brain freeze because it's just, you know, hard to grasp. And so I'm learning more about it. But it gives you an idea of what's coming. So when you have a picture, an idea of what's coming, then you can look at it and then you can overlay it and get a grasp. Yeah. Okay, I can see what's going to happen now because there was a type before. And in that type before, I can then project it forward and be able to grasp at what it is that I'm looking for in the future here or in the current. And so it gets quite exciting. I like learning. But I'll tell you what, my brain sometimes tells me that this is going to be a little bit of a challenge here, pal. So it takes a little bit more time for me. I tell people I'm a slow learner.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a look at Revelation 6 and the four horsemen. What are the four horsemen of the apocalypse?
Well, those are, break the seal on the bowl. You know, is
judgments.
I'm getting tongue-tied now. Gee, it's a judgment. And so what it is that when you look at the white horse here, what's happening is that this is for the rider of the Antichrist. So that's, we're not even close to that, but we're getting set up for that.
Right.
That's the type. We're seeing the type now where it is getting set up for the Antichrist to show up and to be able to start conquering in the one world government. That's what we talked about the last time, is that things are converging on this to be able to take place. And japers, look at how much it's advanced in just the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no? Exactly.
So the white horse is there. It just needs a rider.
Yep. And what we were talking about was, you know, this worldwide virus pandemic is now being taken, like everybody has to be together. You know, we're one in this. We're going to battle this together. You know, this doesn't matter nations and all this stuff around. We're just one people. I mean, it's being promoted to set up this one world government. It's promoting the new world order, the one world government. And, you know, we're being mentally prepared to accept it when it comes.
There's no doubt.
That sets up the then when there is the next major event, then the Antichrist will be like, look, I can fix this problem. And everybody said, okay, take care of it. And there you go.
Well, okay. So he's endowed with supernatural power. Mm-hmm. All right. And so that is the thing. You know, what does it say in the scriptures is that we need to know the voice of our shepherd, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so if you don't know the word of God, what happens is that you can get deceived. You can be snookered. And so he's going to show up with supernatural powers, and people are going to say, wow, this guy, he must be the true one, you know, the savior. He's going to save us from this calamity because doesn't seem to be any kind of out for us other than being under a world leader, which can provide the supernatural guidance and provisions that he promised and he's giving out. Okay. Yeah. So they're going to all run to him because they need somebody to get him out of the chaos. The chaos eventually is going to bring people to where they say, oh man, we need somebody to save us. And there he will. He'll be there.
Yeah. It's kind of like, think about the old, mafia movies and stuff, right? Where, the business owner, is facing financial ruin and he's all, he's going to, lose his reputation, his status, his business, his family and all this. And he comes to the Godfather and says, I need, $50,000 or whatever it is. And the Godfather's like, tell you what, I'll go ahead and give you this money. Don't worry about it. But sometime I'm going to need a favor and you'll take care of me. Right. And the guy's so happy because, sure, no problem. There is a cost that will be paid, so that's basically what the world is being set up for right now. And you can see that, we'll just revert back to part of the conversation we had last time about the roots of this virus in Wuhan, China, and now there's all this proof that, China basically told the World Health Organization, we're not going to mention this, we don't want you to mention this. And when they say that it started, you just deny it and say, no, it's not all that bad, and they fell for it. But that's just one example of how a government can influence the world opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way we're headed right now.
That's a scary thing. And that's why I am glad to see that there is a shift of power, which seems to be breaking up the incentive and the inertia of moving in this direction because of I think they're probably, I like to use percentages when I'm in a convincing kind of like position, and I will say that I feel like it's 92% sure, I give it an A, and now it's getting to the point where they are pretty much sure, 92%, let's say, that this is a created virus and that it escaped. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and being covered up, then the thing is that now the world is upset with China and they are starting to alienate themselves from this whole agreement thing, which brings the United States and China into a really unusual position because they are tied economically together. So one can't do a severe change without hurting themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of work this out because there is posturing going back and forth to be able to get a stronghold. And I can't see where this is going right now because everything else that is happening is taking the stage. And so, but that there's things going on behind the scenes. Now that, as individuals, we need to be detectives because when somebody comes up and says, hey, this isn't going to be so bad, the WHO comes up and says, okay, this isn't going to be so bad. And then the next time they show up and say, yeah, it's going to cripple the world. And they flip-flop back and forth. Mm-hmm. The thing is that everything seems to have an agenda these days. And they're not going to tell you what the agenda is, but you got to look at what's happening and then surmise, okay, let's say I become suspicious, which comes back to one of those programs where you and I were talking about critical thinking. Mm-hmm. We have to have the critical thinking. We have to examine so that we're not deceived because there is so much deception that is going on. We can be brought down a bad road, and then the next thing you know, we are caught up in it, just like you were talking about. And that's where it says, I like the scripture that I just came across before the interview, and it is in 2 Timothy 3, where it talks about perilous times and perilous people. Mm-hmm. No, we're right there. That is where we are in that scripture. And so we have to be able to examine it. So the WHO, you know, they are flip-flopping all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And so people are wondering what in the world's going on. But I'll tell you what, we're in a really interesting spot right now, because people are convinced that this wasn't as bad as they had said, which currently it's not as bad as they had said. Mm-hmm. And some of it is due to the fact that there has been social distancing and quarantine, but at the same time, it doesn't seem to be panning out, as the expression is, to be as bad as they had said. But in the vision that the Lord had given me back in February, I think it was, is that there was going to be three waves of the Holy Spirit. I mean, excuse me, three waves of the pandemic. And the first wave was going to push people's lives around and get everybody's attention, but it wasn't going to be that bad, because only like a 3 or 4 foot tsunami. But the second wave was horrendous. It was like a 30, 40, 50 feet high foot wave, and it just smashed up against the building that I was in. And you can see how that is being set up, because yeah. People are saying, well, listen, it's not as bad as they said. You know, except for the people who caught it, and then they are saying that it's like no flu that they've ever had.
Right.
No, and I just watched in Mexico, in one of their cities where they usually have about 250 burials. I think about per week they had like 8,000 in 1 week. They it was just overwhelmed. They can't even bury them fast enough. Yeah. No, which we have a good healthcare system here, and they're really working at it, and we got to praise God for that.
Amen.
And then the supernatural, people that don't have the healthcare help, they need to have, you know, the Holy Spirit and the Lord taking care of them for protection.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's set up. I'm telling you, it is set up for this next wave to be really bad, because people are just going to ignore it, and it's going to be sweeping through. And sometimes I think it's just going to have to work its way. But I have seen a couple of articles where the mutation is starting to get where it's possible this thing might mutate itself out of existence, because it is a created virus and not a natural virus. And so it's weakening itself. And I'm thinking, praise God, because that's what the third wave was. The third wave was very, very small. It was only like a foot deep. You know, and I just got out and left the area. I just drove away from this area where I was at. Yeah. Yeah. And so that is kind of like a preparation here, is that second wave, I think, is going to catch everybody by surprise. It's going to be very hurtful.
Well,
and we need to...
Part of the second wave that they're talking about now is going to be because of all these protests that are going on. You know, I mean, that's why, like in Revelation, we're talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The second horse is a red horse, where it was given power to take peace from the earth and make people kill each other. Well, you see that happening, you know? And,
yeah.
And then they're talking about, because nobody's doing social distancing, you know, I mean, these protests at the time of this recording have been going on a couple of weeks, which is the mutation period the development period for the virus. So they're looking at, you know, are we going to be looking at huge increases now, like that second wave you're talking about? Is that going to be coming through now?
Yeah. I mean, it just boggles my mind. That's one of the things that I enjoy about having this relationship with the Lord, because in Joel 2:28, it talks about being blessed with dreams and visions, especially towards the end. And I am seeing that happening all around the world in supernatural fashion when I connect with these people. It's just absolutely amazing. I had a chat last night, and this was a person who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and this person was in England, and filled with the Holy Spirit a month ago. And what happened is that this person had an experience where they were taken up into heaven, and they were in water, and the water was in waves. And every time the wave went over this person, the knowledge of a life, a living scripture, was flowing into them. Mm-hmm. And it was so stunning. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, what are you going to use this person for with that understanding that the word is alive? You know, we wonder about the word being alive, but no, the word is alive.
Yeah.
And so this person's life was changed because of that. And that's what we're seeing, is that it gets darker. All of a sudden, you're starting to see this increase, this wonderful increase of God's activity in people's lives all around the world. It's absolutely awesome. But at the same time, you're talking about with the red horse.
Yeah.
Killing each other. And so I don't, it's so shocking. I just, it's hard for me to grasp. What do you think?
Well, you know, the thing about the protests, I am absolutely 100% in agreement with the person, you know, people's right to protest. right? But they don't have right to destroy livelihoods and businesses and all of that. But yet we see, you know, I've seen a report that there's some similarities between last year's protests in Hong Kong and what is taking place in the cities of the United States right now. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, in Hong Kong, they're cracking down as if they're going to take it back over.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they,
which is a...
Yeah, that's going to happen. I mean, the communists don't play.
You know? No, that's yeah, it's hardball.
That's where they want the United States to go, to follow their lead, though.
Well, and that becomes very scary. Now, this is where we need to have people's eyes open to what's going on so that they can't be led blindly down this path, which drives me crazy because if you just take a look, you can see what's going on. To be able to get their eyes open and then to be able to start, taking influence, taking actions and influencing in the other direction. But will it be enough? I believe that we're going to see a reprieve and that this is going to be like in between waves or in between trials or that we're going to see birth pains, in between birth pains. Yeah. But hey, hasn't it been getting pretty intense? I mean, this is a pretty intense birth pain.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, now the big thing is, you know, abolish the police and all that. Okay, so we abolish the police. That means that the city governments and state governments would be responsible for the law enforcement aspect, really. Okay, which another term for that is called martial law. You know,
okay.
And so if, you know, there's problems in the city, then we, you know, we don't have a police force. So we just, well, martial law. Oh, and under martial law, that suspends all of your constitutional rights.
Yeah.
And who's in charge then? Well, the government that has control of the military, you know, the martial law. I mean, but yet it seems like, you know, they want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, okay. And on top of all that, you still got the financial problems that are going on.
When you get into this area, is that you have people that really want to see the fact that things are economically good. And so they are buying it, as you would say, hook, line, and sinker. But I've been around the block, you know, a few times, right? And so during my 20s, I had friends that were in the stock market. And I throw myself into things until I understand it as best that I can. And I threw myself into understanding the stock market. And I just absorbed all kinds of books and cycles and stuff like that to understand, how does it go up? How does it go down? And how to make investments. And I was bad at it, so I eventually stopped.
Amen.
Right? But what I learned is that there are things that happen in society that will either influence upward or downward. And what we're seeing is a contradiction. The stock market is not a fluid thing right now or on live things. It's a manipulated thing. And in that manipulation, you are seeing that it is going up, which is a clear signal of having a good economy. But at the same time, it's being propped up in an unhealthy economical way, which means that it is purely false. You know, it's a false market. It's not a live market. And there's a thing that's called a price earnings ratio, PE earnings ratio. So if you want to invest, if something's down to like 5, that would be a good PE ratio to be able to invest in. But when you got them over 25, which is like the height of it, and you got somebody that has a PE ratio of like 40, that's a disaster, absolute disaster, which there's a word that's called intrinsic value. And that is you take everything that's involved with a business and you bring up the potential of earnings and the assets that are involved in all of that, and you put a price on it, right? The intrinsic value. And let's say that an intrinsic value was $100,000, but the PE ratio was saying that it's worth $1 million. Well, why would you want to invest in this? Because it's all air. There's nothing there. It's all air. And so it can be pulled out from underneath you in a second, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, the potential for a crash is pretty imminent. And so we're looking at it, and I'm expecting it to happen sometime this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And probably closer to the election because, you know, that's just part of the overall strategy is do whatever you can, you know, by one political party, we'll just say, to do whatever they can to make sure that everything is as bad as it can get before the election so they can sweep in and take over. So that's par for the course, I guess you could say.
Well, as we are looking at these developments that are taking place, we talked about Hong Kong and how an overpowering reach of the China is taking place there, in the financial areas, is just the instability which that is in that as well. And then you have the stark contrast of do what I say and don't do as I do, mm-hmm. right, in our society right now, which is adds to the confusion of what horse were we on? The red horse.
The red horse, yep.
And so the hypocrisy is that don't do, close the churches, close all the society, right? And then you got the salon owner down in Texas who says, listen, I got to feed my family. No. And what happens is that she reopens up and she gets hauled into court. And this judge wanted her to surrender, to kneel, basically, mm-hmm. to his will. And she wouldn't do it because she's a mom. She's got to take care of her kids. And she gets thrown into jail because of it. And then you have, the governor of Michigan who does basically the same thing. And then she's out with the protesters. Mm-hmm. She's walking with the protesters. So what is that saying? That's elitism. Yeah. The elitism is that my ways and thoughts are above your ways, and you are going to submit to me, and you're going to follow me, and you don't do as I do. You're going to do as I say. And I just listened to something about what happened in the city of Chicago recently. Where it was basically the mayor had said to some aldermen, just shut up or, hit the highway if you don't like what I'm doing here.
Yeah. Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of the interview with Tom Donnan. Tom, he and I have done so many interviews over the years. And it's always about Bible prophecy. I mean, it doesn't have to specifically talk about, this prophecy is coming true. But what we tend to focus on is current events in the news, some that are proclaimed loudly by the news media, others that are kind of hushed up by the government, but, you can still find out about them, such as the locust invasion and near-miss asteroids, all these different things. But the fact of the matter remains, anytime Tom, Don, and I get together, you never know where the conversation's going to go. I mean, we got an outline that we follow, but we're just led by the Holy Spirit. Now, Tom has been telling us about the types and shadows of things that we can see in the news as it relates to the Bible and Bible prophecy. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. We are living in the last of the last days, as outlined in the Bible. Jesus himself gave us these things to look for. And yes, they've happened sporadically throughout history, but never before have they all been coming together at one time. I call it convergence. And that just shows you that we are living in the last of the last days. Jesus said, when all these things start to come together at one time, look up, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, we're only halfway through this interview. You need to come back tomorrow and catch up with the rest. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org.
Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.